Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It. I'm Allison Stewart. A new documentary takes on the massive subject of climate change through the lens of one man. The film paints an intimate and moving portrait of Mark Balmer, an environmental activist and multimedia artist who decided to walk across the country barefoot to call attention to one of the biggest concerns of our time. And he cataloged his journey with blog posts, Instagram photos, and videos from beginning to end. Here's a minute-long clip of Mark describing what he was going to bring with him on the trek.
Bringing a pen, a comb, some underwear, a can opener, 15 Wora bars, gloves, a flashlight, sunglasses, a Leatherman, a reusable bag, a headlamp, a water thing for my backpack, my absentee ballot, an avocado spoon, some cord and a clip, toilet paper, some vitamins, B12, an omega-3, a jacket, a poncho, fingernail clippers, a toothbrush, floss, a wash bag, some Long John, toothpaste, some wires, some creams and gels, a GoPro head attachment, a hammock, my passport, a sleeping bag, a GoPro thingy, like selfie stick maybe, some like athletic tape my chiropractor gave me, more wires, headphones and case, some battery packs, more wires, some micro SD cards and a thing to hold them, some micro SD adapters, a tracker, a thing to shave my face, another wire, some little glow things, I'm bringing a book, bringing a wallet, bringing my keys, I'm bringing these slip-ons for when I have to go inside stores, I'm bringing a bunch of like plug things for wire, I'm bringing this little like napkin thing, I'm bringing these pants, I'm bringing this shirt, I'm bringing this container for all my wires, I'm bringing these shorts, I'm bringing this head thing, I'm bringing this shirt, and lastly, I'm bringing my glasses. Well, okay, that's all I'm bringing. I hope it all fits in my bag.
The trip would end 100 days later, and as some listeners might remember from media coverage at the time, his journey ended tragically. The documentary is titled Barefoot, the Mark Balmer Story, and it's having its video on demand and digital release today. The film makes clear that while this was a personal and very passionate pursuit for Mark, his is a story that continues to resonate today. I'm very pleased the documentary's writer, director, and editor, Julie Sokolow, is able to join me today. Julie, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So Mark was an artist and he was an activist. He was described by The New Yorker as a compulsive social media diarist. How would you describe the work he made and why he made it?
Yeah, you know, The New Yorker likened him to Andy Kaufman, and I could really see that similarity with his kind of penchant for the absurd. You know, I came to this film as a fan of Mark's. I loved watching his YouTube videos. He would make these 3 to 5 minute long videos every single day on the road during his barefoot trip. So I really agree with that assessment that he was a compulsive social media diarist.
You had so much footage to work with for this film, mostly footage that Mark filmed himself. What was he documenting and how was this an extension of his creative work?
You know, Mark was such an interesting person because he, you know, he was an athlete growing up and then he went to Brown University to get his MFA in creative writing. He wrote prolifically and then he was making these videos on YouTube for like a decade. He had over 500 videos that he posted. And during the barefoot walk, he was posting just every little, you know, bit of information from his day, you know, obstacles he encountered if he stepped on a pine cone or an acorn or something. He would muse philosophically about life and why we're here and how to better live in the moment. He was a meditator, a vegan, and this kind of super athlete. And just along the walk, you know, he starts in October 2016 in Providence, Rhode Island, where he lived, and he's walking west. So there's just a lot of, you know, triumphs and difficulties along that journey. You know, one of the best parts of the film is when he hits Times Square. He's walking around barefoot through the subway system and in Times Square. It's this very kind of funny and triumphant moment for him. So I just love the way that he kind of chronicled his journey across the country and the sort of geographic changes you see through that. And also the political shifts you see, you know, as he encounters more and more Trump signs in more rural areas. Right before, you know, the election took place back in 2016.
Well, let's go a little further into the purpose of the walk. What were his goals? There was a fundraising element to this. Who was he raising funds for?
Yeah, so he was raising $10,000 for FANG, an organization in Providence, which stands for Fighting Against Natural Gas. They're an environmental group, but they also do a lot of advocacy around immigration issues and other things. And, you know, he worked with them closely in Providence, so it's a very grassroots kind of, endeavor there. But he also wanted to save Earth. So there was this very hyperbolic statement that he made about this trip that his goal was to save Earth from climate catastrophe. And I really think he succeeded, you know, in his own way, just because when he was walking, you know, on the side of the road barefoot, people would just stop and talk to him, offer him shoes or food, and he would take that opportunity to tell them why he was walking and drop a little bit of knowledge about, you know, global warming and the coral reefs bleaching and penguins dying and these things that would just kind of, I think, inspire people to see, you know, what the sacrifice he was making. And a lot of those people who saw him on the walk ended up following him.
But it was also interesting when people would pull up next to him in their cars and they would offer him shoes or a ride, and he people just seemed to want to help. But at least on one occasion, someone seemed, at least in the film, I'm sure there were others, really hostile towards him. What did you observe about people as they reacted to him, this man walking barefoot on the highway?
Yeah, I think overall, you know, his mom says in the film how he realized how good people are, because I think most people who stopped were curious or concerned or wanted to help. There were a few people who stopped and were aggressive and thought that he had no business walking on the side of the road. And I think that's like one of the most revelatory things about this project, was that it just shows how dangerous it is to be a pedestrian in this country. You know, the roads are not made to be walked on or even biked on, really. And just this simple act of walking out of your house and going a few more miles, you end up in, you know, lethal danger. And that's part of what his project shows.
My guest is Julie Sokolow. We're talking about the documentary Barefoot, the Mark Bommer story. Barefoot, we have to talk about that part of it. It's central to the film, to his experience, to what he wanted people to know. Why do you think the barefoot aspect of this journey was so important to Mark?
Well, it's interesting because Mark actually walked across the country with shoes back in 2010 successfully, and it only took him 81 days. And from that journey, you know, his feet really got beat up by those shoes, and he started looking into research on the barefoot lifestyle and barefoot running, and read this book called Born to Run, and really started training his feet, you know, and just little by little built up calluses. And, you know, so he really thought this through on the level of this sort of like athletic endeavor. But also there was this metaphorical significance of being barefoot, of touching the feet with your earth. And there's also that, you know, maybe more masochistic sacrifice being made, you know, the vulnerability of his feet on the earth, you know, and there were ants that bit his feet, and he did, you know, run on acorns and things and got beat up by that. And I think it was sort of embodying, you know, this sense of what climate change is doing to, you know, the world. So maybe that was part of it for him. I never got to interview him. You know, I had to work off of his archival footage to make this film. So I'm only, you know, guessing.
And if people, you know, you can go to his Instagram and see, because he put up pictures of his feet at the end of the day, when they were dirty, when they were calloused. And it's very interesting to, he has them very prominent in a lot of the pictures. He also, I mean, he was really self-sustaining. He was sleeping outside. He was eating a plant-based diet. He was trying to keep his footprint very small. What was he trying to communicate with this way of living?
Yeah, he was a true minimalist. You know, back in Providence in his house, he shared a house with roommates. He had a really small room, and he didn't even sleep on a mattress. He slept on this really thin, I think it's called a shiatsu pad. And so I think his walk showed, you know, maybe you really only need the, you know, clothes on your body and your backpack, not even shoes, to get through life. And one of the sort of miraculous things that he kind of proved on this trip, which was, you know, 101 days on the road, was just that his feet held up through all that time. He walked over 700 miles barefoot. And by, you know, when he was killed tragically on this trip, his feet, you know, that wasn't the problem. It was something else, you know. And so I think he did prove the sort of human potential and just power of the body, you know, when it's trained in this athletic way. And, you know, he slept outside, as you mentioned, and he just ate, you know, cans of garbanzo beans from the gas station and stuff like that.
The name of the film is Barefoot, The Mark Bomber Story. I'm speaking with this director, Julie Sokolow. So we've been talking about how the trip ended tragically, and I'm not giving anything away. Mark was hit by an SUV. I do want to play a clip, you know, of this. It's a kind of a dark moment foreshadowing Mark's life. This is from Barefoot, The Mark Bomber Story.
People always say, you're not wearing shoes, like, you're gonna die, like, you're going to cut your feet, or like you're going to get sick and get pneumonia. If I die on this trip, it's not going to be because I didn't wear shoes. It's going to be because an automobile kills me. Like, that's where I'm putting myself in danger. Anytime you walk near automobiles, you're putting yourself in danger. And that's what's, like, that's what's the most dangerous part of this trip.
There are a couple of things that are very interesting about that. One is that Mark is narrating his own story. When did you realize that was going to be how you were going to tell this story?
Yeah, I wanted to structure the film to really celebrate his life and have this intimate character piece. And, you know, because we don't get to interview him, because when I started making the film, he was already deceased, you know, he had to be the one narrating his own story. And the clip that you just played, you know, was a bit of foreshadowing. He understands the risk of what he's doing. He's, you know, done it once before walking across the country. So he understands that, you know, the thing most people come to the film thinking is that what's going to happen to his feet? Something bad is going to happen to his feet. He's going to get frostbite and the journey is going to end. And in reality, his feet were fine. It was, you know, car culture that killed Mark. And I think that, again, is a profound point, because maybe we could consider ways to accommodate pedestrians and cyclists and people who are trying to lower their carbon footprint to get around. And that's related to climate change as well. So I think that was a profound piece of what he was doing. I myself, you know, am an avid walker and take the bus everywhere and, you know, haven't owned a car in over a decade. So that was a personal connection I had to making the film as well.
And then there's also this other string to weave, this weaving together to create this film, is that this is all happening in the final months and moments of the 2016 presidential election. How does that factor into the film, and also into your, you know, not as the, necessarily as the director, but also as the editor of the film?
You know, Mark wanted to do this trip to protest climate change. He wasn't really thinking about a particular political figure and protesting them, because climate change is an issue that's, you know, beyond any one political figure. But as he was walking, you know, starting in October 2016 and seeing all the Trump signs around and realizing that Trump could really win the election, he had to kind of speak to that. So he filmed himself on election night, kind of in shock and horror as he saw that Trump was going to win. And as he went along on his journey, he saw Trump's disastrous cabinet picks. And, you know, the film sort of culminates around the inauguration of Donald Trump as well. So it was sort of necessary to, you know, edit in this footage of Trump rising to power to contextualize what Mark was fighting against. You know, at the end of the day, Trump is a climate change denier. And so, you know, Mark versus Trump in this film. It's sort of like Trump is his virtual nemesis, you could say.
You had both of his parents were interviewed extensively through this film. What was their reaction to it?
I'm really pleased that his family and his friends seem, you know, supportive of the film. They really stand behind what we all created together, and we got to, you know, premiere the film in theaters before COVID hit and everything. So as a documentary filmmaker, I choose personally to create portraits of people I admire, like Mark and other people I've worked with in the past. So I really want to, you know, have a good outcome for us all together and have making the film be somewhat of a healing process for people involved.
The name of the documentary is Barefoot, The Mark Bomber Story. It's having its video on demand and digital release today. I've been speaking with its writer, director, and editor, Julie Sokolow. Julie, thank you so much for being with us and joining us on All of It.